Welcome to this special edition of This Is Your Life with Michael Hyatt. Our goal is to help you win at work and succeed at life. My name is Megan Hyatt Miller, COO of Michael Hyatt and Company. And joining me in our conversation today is our CEO and my dad, Michael Hyatt. Hey, Dad, how are you?
Hey, Meg. I'm doing great. Thank you.
So fun to be here with you again.
It is.
So as I said last week, this is a special edition of the podcast. We're doing a 3-episode mini-series on goal setting, but we're actually launching a whole new podcast in the new year. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Well, I can't tell you much, but we are working on it, and I'm really excited about it. It's going to be somewhere between what the show is now and, say, Serial.
Wow, that's a wide range, folks. Guess you'll just have to stay tuned.
You know, the thing that I really wanted to do was to explore topics in greater detail, you know, interview people around a given topic, also share some of my insights, but not just an interview format and not just an monologue format, but a little bit more variety than that. So we're creating a pilot right now, and we're hoping to launch the whole thing first part of January.
So speaking of the new year, as we prepare to start the new year, many of us are probably thinking about what we wish we could have accomplished in this year.
Right.
So, you know, as we're thinking about those New Year's resolutions, it can be kind of discouraging because the stats show us that 25% of people abandon their New Year's resolutions after just 1 week. 60% do so within 6 months, and the average person makes the same New Year's resolution 10 different times without success. In light of these discouraging stats about resolutions, is there a better alternative? And how can we take control over our results next year in a meaningful way?
Yeah, there's totally a better alternative. As you mentioned, New Year's resolutions don't work.
Yep.
I think traditional goal setting doesn't work. But what we have to offer is a new way to set goals, a way that we've proven works. We've had over 17,000 students go through my goal setting course, 5 days to your best year ever. And there's some features of that, some of which we'll talk about in this episode and some in the next episode. But yeah, there is a way to get what you want. And the people that are the highest achievers, the people that really are successful, have figured this out.
That's fantastic and hopeful, I think, for many people who have had that experience of setting New Year's resolutions and not having had them work.
Yeah.
So as you mentioned, goals are actually the solution that we need to make meaningful progress in the areas that matter the most to us. But there are some common pitfalls that can derail our performance and keep us from accomplishing the goals that we've set. So today, you're going to share the 10 most common mistakes that sabotage our success so that we can avoid those right from the start and actually make progress, right?
Yeah, exactly. These are the mistakes that we commonly see people make when they approach the new year and when they try to go from New Year's resolutions to goal setting. These are the mistakes that show up again and again and again. And the good news is, it's really an easy fix. This is not really difficult.
Awesome. Okay, tell us what mistake number one is.
Okay, mistake number one is you focus on only one area of your life.
Man, this is a big one.
This is a big one because I think when people have used goals in the past, for most people, it's been in the area of work or their career or their business life, right? You know, maybe their boss requires it. Maybe their organization does it as a part of their strategic planning process. But they've never thought to use goal setting in the other areas of your life. But the truth is, shocking as it may seem, life is more than work.
That's right.
Right? You know, you've got your health. You've got your most important relationships. You've got hobbies. You've got your children. I mean, any number of things. But here's the key. They're all interrelated.
Right.
So if you go through a health crisis, it's going to have an impact at work. It's going to have an impact probably on your most important relationships. I mean, all you have to do is think about somebody that you know that's had cancer or has had a heart attack. And there is a seismic impact all around them in every area of their life. Or conversely, you know, if somebody goes through a relationship breakup or if they go through a divorce, that's going to have an impact on their business. It's probably going to have an impact on their physical health. And to use another example, if you look at work, if you're under a lot of stress at work, it's going to have an impact on your most important relationships and on your health. So the truth is, we've got to set goals in every area of life, or at least in some of the major ones, so that we can achieve real work-life balance.
This is so important. Okay, so mistake number one is you focus on only one area of your life. What's number two?
Okay, so people get all enthusiastic. They say, I love this goal setting idea, and I'm just going to go crazy. And so mistake number two is you create too many goals.
Let's be honest. We've all done this, right?
We've all done this. I think the first time I set goals, I set like 50.
Wow.
And thankfully, I was able to save that as a bucket list, but it wasn't a goal list.
Right.
And this is another thing that we know from doing research on the 17,000 students that have gone through Best Year Ever, is that one of the top ways that people get derailed, it's not the number one way, but it's number two, is that they set too many goals.
Hmm.
And it's like that ancient Chinese proverb that I'm fond of quoting that says, man who chases two rabbits catches neither. Now, I don't believe that you can only have one goal. But in our experience, and all the research we've been able to find, says that you need 7 to 10. The fewer, the better. You need enough to address the major areas of your life, but you don't need so many that you lose focus and get distracted and don't accomplish anything. And one of the things that you and I learned even in this last year when we read through the book, The Four Disciplines of Execution, is that you really need due dates of no more than 2 per quarter.
Yes.
So in other words, when you're focusing on goals, especially goals that are outside of the normal course of what you're doing in your business or life, what the authors of that book talk about outside the whirlwind, because the whirlwind takes a lot to maintain. You only want about 2 goals per quarter to focus on.
Well, and that has been a powerful thing for us, because when you apply massive action to just a couple of goals at a time, you see huge progress, and it's encouraging, and you get momentum, and it just carries you on through the year.
Yeah. And if you could accomplish 2 goals per quarter, or sometimes I say you could go to 3, but again, no more than 7 to 10 for the entire year. If you could do that every quarter, and if you could do that every year, those begin to stack up. If you could do the really important things, you could really move the needle in your life and really change the trajectory of your life.
Love it. Okay, so that was mistake number two. You create too many goals. What's number three?
Number three is you don't write your goals down.
Fail.
Well, I know for many people it's a fail. And when I used to speak on goal setting, and when I used to speak to corporations, and they'd bring me in to speak. I don't do a lot of external speaking right now, mostly webinars for our own company. But I would often ask rooms full of executives or CEOs, I'd say, how many of you believe in the importance of having written goals? I mean, every hand in the audience goes up, right? Who's going to want to admit that they don't believe that that's important? Of course it's important, self-evident. And then when you ask, or when I would ask the question, okay, let's be honest, how many of you have a set of written goals for this year? And I mean, like about 5% of the audience hands go up. So everybody believes it's important. Hardly anybody does it. But here's the extraordinary thing. Dr. Gail Matthews at Dominican University in California did a research project on goal setting. And what she wanted to know, among other things, was what was the impact of writing down your goals? In other words, is it important? Or could you just set the attention mentally and sort of keep track of it mentally and still accomplish your most important goals? What she discovered is that the mere act of writing the goal down gives you a 42% greater probability of achieving the goal.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Even if you don't do anything else. Now, one of the things that we teach is that it's important to review your goals, to make them visible, to create accountability, to set action steps, to really make progress towards your goal. So you can take that from 42% to 100%. But just writing the goal down has almost, I'm not quite ready to use this word, but almost a magical kind of impact. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. And it's too easy, I think, to be in a meeting, for example, in your business and talk about the things you want to do or even make decisions about the things that you are going to do and assume that that's goal setting. And it's really not. That may be the first step in thinking about your goals, but it's not the same thing as having a written set of goals.
That's right. I think it might've been Dave Ramsey, might've been somebody else that said the difference between a dream and a goal is a deadline. And I would say beyond that, the difference between a dream and a goal is that it's gotta be specific and measurable and has to have a deadline. We'll talk about some of those in just a moment. But yeah, you can have an aspiration. You can journal about things that you wanna do. You can mention to your spouse and casual conversation that, you know, someday you want to go to Italy, or someday you want to take a long vacation, you know, a 2-week vacation, or someday you want to have kids, or someday you want to buy a house, or whatever it is, and never get to it. But the beginning of the goal setting process, when you take a dream or take it from a dream to a goal, is to actually write it down. Now, here's why that's important. Someone once said that thoughts disentangle themselves, passing over lips and through pencil tips.
Hmm.
So if you want clarity, and who doesn't need clarity?
Yeah.
Clarity is a big thing that trips people up.
Mm-hmm.
But to get more clarity, writing it down helps you. That very process helps you get focused on what it is you really want. For example, you might say to yourself, man, I'd really like in 2017 to lose weight. Okay, that's an aspiration. Nothing wrong with that. It's just not a goal.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can't act on it at all.
You can't act on it at all. So then the question becomes, as you're writing it down, you realize, I got to make this more specific. You know, it's got to be a certain percentage of body fat, or it's got to be pounds, or it's got to be something, or maybe it's, you know, waist size. Whatever it is, you got to make it specific and measurable.
Okay, you're getting ahead of yourself there.
I know.
Because mistake number three is that people don't write their goals down. But mistake number four is that you don't make your goals specific. And that's exactly what you're talking about right now.
Yeah, this is where, again, something that separates an aspiration or a dream from a goal is that you've got to get specific. You've got to know exactly what it is you want to achieve. So, for example, another one, I might have an example of I want to learn photography.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I wanted to do that a couple of years ago, and that was a great aspiration. Only problem was I didn't really ever learn photography because, I mean, how do I know when I'm done?
Right.
Right? I mean, do I have to be as good as somebody like Jeremy Cowart, one of our friends who's an amazing professional photographer? Or is it just enough to know what the buttons do, sort of?
You know? Big difference.
Yeah. And so to make it specific, a better example is I want to complete Lynda.com's Photography 101 course, which, by the way, I don't even know if they have a course called that, but that would be the idea.
Sure.
You know, to get really, really specific on what it is that you want.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to, you say, I want to build a house. Well, what kind of house? You know, and
by when?
Yeah, by when, which we're going to get to in just a minute. But yep. You want to talk about what kind of house? You want to think about what kind of house? Is it a country house? Is it a Victorian house? You know, is how many rooms is it? How specific do you want to get?
That helps to really give you the vision in your mind for what you want to create. Okay, so that was mistake number four. You don't make your goals specific. What about number five?
This is close but different, but it's related. You don't make your goals measurable. So, for example, we gave the example of a weight loss goal. You know, you say, well, I want to lose weight this year. I've really been meaning to lose weight. I want to take a few pounds off, whatever. Next question I would ask you to turn that aspiration into a goal is how much, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, is it 10 pounds? Is it 20 pounds? What would you be happy with that would really be a goal that's compelling and meaningful to you? Or another one, somebody may say, I just need to earn more money. Well, how much more money? Do you want to earn 10,000 more this year than last year? Do you want to double your income? Do you want to triple it? Or do you want a 4% raise? I mean, all that's possible. And here's the thing, Meg, that is so important about making it measurable. This is where we begin to really turn those dreams into reality.
Yes.
And I think so many people are afraid of that.
Hmm.
They're afraid if they get specific, like we talked about in the last mistake, or they get measurable, like we're talking about in this mistake, that somehow that's going to set them up for failure. You're like, well, what if they don't accomplish that thing?
Sure.
Well, what if you don't? It's not like the goal police are going to knock on your door and arrest you because you tried and failed. No, you just don't accomplish it. I've had plenty of goals that I was very specific on. They were measurable, but I didn't quite achieve them. But I'm still happy with the results. Like one of my goals for this year was to take my book, Living Forward, that I co-wrote with Daniel Harkavy, and put it on the New York Times bestseller list. That was my specific, and that was my measurable.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I open up the New York Times and it's not there by the date I said, then I didn't achieve the goal.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? I didn't achieve that goal. But here's what I did in aiming for that specific, measurable goal. I ended up getting that book, or we ended up getting that book on the USA Today bestseller list,
mm-hmm.
and we ended up getting the book on the Wall Street Journal bestseller list and the Publishers Weekly bestseller list.
Which is a huge deal.
Huge deal, and that would have never happened if we hadn't set a specific, measurable goal. So it's critical to really make these goals measurable because it's the way of making it concrete.
Mm.
Give me another example. We're sitting here recording in what we affectionately call the carriage house. Now, we call garages in the South that have a guest room a carriage house. You know, no carriages, I promise. But we're sitting here, and this is something Mom and I wanted to build for several years, but we started getting specific and measurable when we had blueprints drawn up.
Yes.
When we got a bid from a contractor. Now all of a sudden we're starting to make it measurable. We're starting to make it reality by making it concrete.
That is great. Okay, so that was mistake number five. You don't make your goals measurable. Hey, Dad, let's push the pause button on our conversation for just a minute because you have a new free training coming up this week that you wanted to mention, right?
Yeah, and I'm super excited about it. So here's the deal. Tons of my readers and listeners tell me that they feel out of control in their lives. Mm-hmm. Between the political landscape, I mean, what an election that was.
Yeah.
And the economy and the job market and even just the daily busyness that can make every day feel like frantic survival mode. They say it's tough to feel confident and certain of the directions of their lives. So I've put together a free webinar training with the sole purpose of helping you learn key steps for taking control of the coming year. Goal setting, when done right, brings incredible security to our lives because it sets the direction for where we're headed and tells us how to get there. That's what this webinar is all about.
Man, that sounds great. Goal setting really helps us to design the life we want, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to have everyone join us for this free webinar. It's called 7 Steps for Taking Control of 2017. And you can sign up at bestyearever.me/7steps. And did I mention? It's free.
All right. So bestyearever.me/7steps. That's so easy. Spots go fast, though. In fact, we almost max out where we can't let anybody else in every single time we do this. So I hope everybody will sign up quickly. And now, though, let's get back to the mistakes that derail our goals. So today, my dad has been providing us with a list of the top 10 mistakes that stop us from achieving our most important goals. Knowing these mistakes is super empowering because it allows us to guard against the pitfalls and set ourselves up for success right from the start. We've talked about the first 5, which are you focus on only one area of your life, you create too many goals, you don't write down your goals, you don't make your goals specific, and you don't make your goals measurable. But now let's dig into the remaining 5, starting with number 6.
Yeah, this is a pretty obvious one, but I'm amazed at how people are afraid to do this. But the mistake is this, you don't assign a deadline. I don't know if people feel like if they do and they don't achieve it, then what happens? I mean, I've had deadlines slip on some really important projects, but they would have never happened had I not set a deadline.
That is so true. We learn that every year, in fact.
Yeah. And I mean, we almost never make our deadlines. I mean, we do. We make our launch
very days. Often we adjust a little bit throughout the process, which you talk about very often. That's fine. But if we hadn't had the deadline, we wouldn't have gotten anywhere close to it.
That's right. So for example, you might set a deadline that says something like lose 20 pounds. That's good because it's specific and it's measurable, right? But a better example would be lose 20 pounds by April the 1st, 2017.
Right.
Now you've got a deadline, and here's the value of a deadline. It creates a sense of urgency.
It's going to get your butt in gear.
That's right. It gets you moving and taking those first few steps toward achieving your goal. It also makes you focus, right? So when you have a deadline, it gives you a focal point. And the third thing is that it gives you a sense of accomplishment as you move past it. You know, because you don't want to be thinking about this all year long. And by the way, one of the things I want to say about deadlines that's key is you do 7 to 10 goals. Don't put the deadline for every goal as December the 31st, 2017. Hashtag fail. That's a goal fail.
That's right.
You know, it's not a good way to do it because then you just kind of lollygag and, you know, do nothing for the first several months and then wake up in November and go, oh my gosh, these are all due this next month.
That's right.
So you don't want to do that. You want to have, as I said earlier, a couple goal deadlines each quarter so that you can be focused around those goals and you can really bring it home and accomplish what you set out to do.
That's a really important one. Okay, that was mistake number 6. You don't assign a deadline to your goals. What's number 7?
I love this one. This is a mistake. You don't stretch outside your comfort zone. Now, the way I saw goal setting or goal planning done in the corporation is it was all about setting goals in the comfort zone.
Right.
And I'll talk about that in a minute, why that happens. But, you know, it's like management goes to the sales team, for example, and says, okay, what do you guys think you can do this next year? And they look over the past and they realize that they've grown on an average of about 3% a year. And they say, you know, we think we can go for 3.1%. You know, that's what I call in the comfort zone.
Not inspiring at all.
It's not inspiring, and it's something you already know how to do.
Right.
Right? That's why I call it the comfort zone. It doesn't make you uncomfortable to contemplate it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's zone one. You do not want to set your goals in zone one, in the comfort zone. And here's why. Because goals that are set in the comfort zone are not compelling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it. If you really, you know, achieved 3.1% sales growth, would you get really excited? Heck no. You just wouldn't. It's not compelling. It doesn't ignite your imagination. It doesn't require you to innovate. It doesn't get you focused. There's no emotional energy behind it. You know, if you're lucky, you might hit 3.1%, but it's not going to take a lot of effort because you already know how to do it. It's in your comfort zone. Might as well not set the goal.
Wow. And that's one that a lot of people are guilty of. Okay. So that is mistake number seven. You don't stretch outside your comfort zone. And you just really naturally led right into number eight, mistake number eight, which is you don't make your goals compelling. This is another big problem.
Yeah, it is. Because what has to happen for a goal to be compelling is it has to be in zone two. So zone one is your comfort zone. Zone two is your discomfort zone. This is where all the awesome stuff happens. Mm. Now, think back on your own life. The time when you were a little bit courageous. The time when you took initiative when you didn't really want to. The time when you pushed through to achieve a big goal that was challenging or when you really wanted to quit. Now, think back, because I know you've done this too. You've run a half marathon.
Several times.
And did you want to quit?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But were you a little bit proud of yourself when you pushed through?
Absolutely.
Was that one of the most significant things you ever accomplished?
Sure was.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I wanted to quit in the training.
Right.
But every time I didn't quit, I gained confidence. And then when I got to the actual race, I had kind of built up that muscle of being outside my comfort zone, but also knowing that I could overcome that messy middle, as you call it. And I had invested so much that I was absolutely compelled to finish.
Yeah. This is the cool thing about the discomfort zone is that all the great stuff in our life happens there. That's where our prayers are answered. That's where we get the breakthroughs. That's where we achieve the big results that really change the quality of our life and change our lifestyle.
Yeah.
But here's the thing about the discomfort zone. It's uncomfortable.
Right.
Duh. Right. So inside the discomfort zone, you're going to feel some fear.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because you might fail.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk more about this in our next episode for next week. But you might also feel uncertainty or doubt or maybe a little shame. So there's some negative emotions that people typically attribute or experience in the discomfort zone. The key to setting your goals there is to reframe those emotions and see them, get this, as positive indicators that your goal is dialed up to the right level.
Hmm.
So if you dial it up and start to feel a little fear that you might fail, that you're not quite sure where the path, how the path is going to get you to where you want to go. If you feel some doubt, you know, about your own ability to achieve the goal, maybe even a little shame because you think of all the times in the past that you set out to accomplish a big goal like that and didn't achieve it. If that's what you feel, congratulations. That's exactly where your goal should be. And that's going to create the breakthrough that you need. Now, what you don't want to do is dial it up so far that it's in zone three. Zone three is the delusional zone.
We all know people who've done this.
Yes. So, you know, you set out and without, you know, a lot of forethought, you think, you know, I'm going to make $1 million this next year. I had a good friend of mine, by the way, last year who was struggling to get a business off the ground. And he said, next year, I'm going to triple my income.
Hmm.
Well, it was delusional.
Right.
You know, he didn't have.
There's no basis for that.
There was no basis for that. You know, and
although maybe tripling your income if you were at zero wouldn't be that hard.
Yeah, what's three times zero? Oh, yeah, still zero. Well, he didn't achieve it, not surprisingly.
Sure.
He told me the same thing last year, didn't achieve it.
Hmm.
He would have been much better to go back to the comfort zone, dial it up to where he's uncomfortable, and then shoot for that rather than the delusional zone.
Absolutely. The other part of making goals compelling is connecting to your deeper motivation and your why, which you talk about in your course, 5 Days to Your Best Year Ever. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, this is critically important. You have to ask yourself the question, why is that goal important? I mean, we're not just setting goals because somebody told us, like me, that you need to set goals. And so you just write something down and you say, okay, fine, there are my goals. The question is, Are they compelling to you? Are these something you really want?
Mm-hmm.
Would they make a discernible difference in the quality of your life?
Mm-hmm.
What do you get if you achieve that goal? What do you lose if you don't? What's at stake positively and negatively? And this, it's important to think through.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to write down what I call your key motivations, because these are the things that are going to carry you through when you want to quit.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking, I don't remember if we did in the last episode or something else we were filming, it all kind of runs together now. But I was talking about when I was running the half marathon 1 year and wanted to quit, but I was running to provide scholarships for New Hope Academy for some of those children.
Mm-hmm.
And when I wanted to quit, I thought about those children who wouldn't be able to go to school, or at least wouldn't get that quality of education,
mm-hmm.
unless I finished the stinking marathon.
Right.
So for me, that was a compelling reason to finish. Even though my feet hurt, even though I was out of breath, even though I wanted to quit, I wanted nothing better than a hot tub full of Epsom salts. but I didn't. I kept going because the goal was compelling.
You're running for the kids.
Running for the kids. Do it for the children.
That's great. Okay, so that was mistake number 8. You don't make your goals compelling. What is number 9?
Number 9 is you don't identify the next action. So you come up with a goal, and then it just sits there, this big, fat goal. And you don't know what the next action is. And people cope with this in 2 ways. One is they absolutely overplan.
Yep.
So instead of actually taking action on the goal, they sit down and they create an elaborate plan, action plan. It has deadlines for the tasks and for the subtasks and for the sub-subtasks. And it has a budget and it has the people responsible. Now, that's fine if you're building a nuclear submarine. It's a little bit of overkill for most of our personal goals.
Yep.
And it becomes a fancy way of procrastinating. The other thing that people do, though, is the exact opposite of that. And they look at a big goal that's in the discomfort zone, and they get overwhelmed, and they don't identify the next action. And so they don't really achieve
anything. They just stick their head in the sand and pretend
it's
not there.
So an important concept that we've got to grasp is that there's a difference between setting a goal in the discomfort zone and setting or identifying the next action that's in the comfort zone. This is an important distinction. You want your next actions in the comfort zone. You want to set the bar so low that you can't help but stumble over it. You know, you're going to actually accomplish it. So, for example, if you wanted to lose weight this next year, and let's just say that you had a specific measurable goal with a deadline on losing weight, which may sound daunting because maybe you've never lost that much weight before, or maybe you don't even have a clue how to do it, or you've tried and failed. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why it could be uncomfortable, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's good, by the way, that it's uncomfortable. But what's the next action? Now you want something inside of your comfort zone that you absolutely positively can do and can do today. So for example, one task that would be inside of your comfort zone that would move you toward that goal would be to call your local gym and ask them if they could recommend a trainer. Like, let's say that you want to go that route. Or you may post on Facebook and say, hey, I want to lose 20 pounds and I know I need an accountability group because I'm going to fall off the wagon. I just know from past experience. So who's with me? Who wants to do this as a group? We'll create a private Facebook group. So it's something simple, manageable, easy to do. And that's how you move from where you are incrementally to where you want to be.
Love that. So empowering. Okay, so that was mistake number 9. You don't identify the next action. That's a really important one. Okay, so moving on to the last mistake in goal setting, that is that you don't keep your goals visible. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, this is an important one. And in fact, it's the number one reason that we found in our research that people don't achieve their goals.
Mm-hmm.
They set the goal. They may even set goals that are specific, measurable, have a deadline, conform to all the things, avoiding all the mistakes we've been talking about, but then they just don't keep them visible. They shove them in a drawer.
Right.
They put them on their computer's hard disk. They never review them. They never look at them again. And because of that, I mean, life's busy, right? People get distracted. People get refocused on other things. You know, a crisis occurs and they just forget about the goal. So unless you keep your goals visible, unless you stay focused on them, there's a better the not chance you're not going to achieve that goal. So you've got to come up with a way to keep them visible. You know, put them in your journal, hang them on the wall, create a screensaver, but do something that keeps the goal visible so you can't forget about it. Now, it's not difficult in the first couple of weeks of the year.
Sure.
because you're all motivated, you're all jacked up. News media is talking about goal setting. But what happens after you get past the first few weeks? Like, I'm always amazed when I go to the gym after the first of the year. I can't even find a parking place, right? Everybody and their brothers decided they're going to lose weight, get in shape. And so everybody's at the gym. Give it about 3 weeks. You know, there are going to be plenty of parking places.
Sad but true, right?
Right. Because those people have lost sight of their goals. They're no longer visible.
Unfortunately, you're right on that. Okay, so that was mistake number 10. You don't keep your goals visible. Dad, thanks so much. That was a really helpful
list. You bet.
All right, and before we go, I don't want you to forget about the free webinar that we're doing next week called 7 Steps to Take Control of 2017. That is, again, a free webinar that you can sign up for at bestyearever.me/7steps. And if you've enjoyed today's episode, you can get the show notes and full transcript at michaelhyatt.com. Hey, before we go today, can you do us just a quick favor? It's only going to take 30 seconds. If you'll head over to iTunes and rate this podcast, that would be huge for us in terms of improving our rankings there and keeping the show visible so others can discover the content and be helped by it. All right, Dad, do you have any final thoughts before we go?
Yeah, I do. You know, if you're the kind of person who's tried goal setting and given up on it or failed at it, I just want to encourage you. There are specific reasons why people fail at it. This is one of the most powerful tools that you can use to get the life you want. So just avoid these 10 mistakes. Listen next week as we talk in the final episode of this special series on goal setting. And you really can do this. You can make 2017 extraordinary. It just takes a little effort and a little focus.
That's great. And thanks again for joining us today. Until next time, remember, your life, your one and only life, is a gift. Now go make it count.